I love you. Did you have a good day yesterday? Those that got to go to Christian Way Farms. Did everybody get to go? Not everybody. We had 45, I think, got to go. So that was awesome. I didn't get to go myself, and I was crying about all day. You know, I love to go with my church family. But Debbie and I, we had a baby shower we had to attend, and also a wedding we had to attend, so we didn't get to go. But I'm glad you got to go, and I'm glad that you had a great time. That's the life of the church. Fellowship is the life of the church. We can't get to know each other in this setting right here, really. You know, in preaching, you know, I am your preacher. God called me to preach. He led me here to South Carrollton Baptist Church, and I'm your preacher. But it takes time for me to be your pastor. You see, I learned how to be your pastor at the hospital, and at funeral homes, and different things. I learned to be your pastor, and you need a pastor, but you also need a preacher. And I'm thankful to be here with you this morning. And I truly love you. And I'm glad that our church has so many children. We really got to focus on a baby dedication. We got so many babies that we need to dedicate to the Lord. And when I say that, a baby dedication isn't actually for the baby. It's for the parents. You dedicate yourself to raise your child to the Lord, for the Lord Jesus. And it's so wonderful to be able to do that, to train your child up in the ways of the Lord. What a blessing. What a privilege. And we need that. We need that in our country today. Take your Bible. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. And I hope that you have your Bible this morning, and that you're learning, that you're growing as a Christian, that you've already read the Bible through. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to start that and do that. Such a blessing to read the Bible through. Now, I know what people say. They say, well, we start in the Old Testament, and we get to a bunch of old men, and we see the names and their ages, and then we get into Leviticus, the Levitical law, and a lot of times people get lost in that scripture, in that holy scripture. But just keep reading. Just keep reading. Even though you may not understand it at that moment, I want to tell you something. You'll be so encouraged that you've read the Bible through, all the way through. And I encourage you to do that. If you haven't, do that. And because that's the way you grow in the Lord. The only growth as your spiritual growth will only take place through the Word of God. What you put into the Word of God, that's exactly what you'll get out of it. And I want us here at South Carrollton to be full-grown Christians. Amen? Soldiers of the cross. Not immature babies, amen? To grow, and you got to grow. You need to know what the Bible says. I'm going to start preaching on Wednesday night what Baptists believe. What Baptists believe, but not only that, why you believe it. You say you believe some things, but I want you to know why. Why do you believe what you say that you believe, and I will back that up with scripture. But I want us to look in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, verses 1 and 2. And in this scripture, you can stand with me if you would. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now that's why you're here this morning. You're here to hear the Word of God. You're not here to hear my jokes. I'm just not very, very good at jokes. A lot of times I tell a joke and nobody laughs. And that will send me into some kind of a complex. But what you really need is the Word of God. Amen. The preacher, you know, that preached this week, Brother Bobby Reno, he gave us the Word, didn't he? He encouraged us in the Word. And we had a great revival. I'm telling you, if you got to be here, your heart is happy. Amen. You're just so glad that you got to come to the revival. And I know it's a struggle. It's a struggle to get to revival because we got so much going on. Sometimes we're so busy, we even get too busy for God. And I want to tell you something, that is a dangerous position to be in. But I understand the struggles that we face now getting to church and getting to revival. But if you sacrificed your time to come, I know it wasn't in vain. I know that you were blessed by being here. Amen. We had great music, great preaching, great reviving in our hearts and in our lives. And I know that you are so thankful for that. You know, a lot of times in our spiritual life, we may feel dead inside. We may not care. We something may happen to us in our life, and we just spiritually blow it off. We just don't think like we should or feel like we should. And we ought to feel deeply about the things that are so important to us. And the things that are important to us is the Lord Jesus Christ, our family, our friends. Those are the most important things. And if you put God first, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But you got to seek God first. You've got to learn to put Him first in your life. If you don't learn to put God first in your life, what you will do, you will serve self. You will worship self. If you lose your passion for the Lord, it will always be replaced with something else in your life. And the thing you put first in your life is your God. Is your God. So I encourage you to be careful in your life, in your spiritual life. Look what the Bible says. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man, I want you to get this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he says that Jesus receiveth sinners. If you're a sinner today, you're in the category for Jesus to receive you. He receives sinners. Look what the Bible says. You can be seated, but this is such an amazing observation of Christ, but not only Christ, but of His enemies. His enemies were saying this. His enemies were saying, this man receives sinners. The enemies, the unbelievers of that day, they were watching Jesus every moment. They had some type of a scouting party to go out. It reminds me of Hee Haw. Some of us old enough to remember Hee Haw? And you remember in the cornfield? And all of a sudden they'd be singing, and there'd be four or five of them pop up out of the cornfield and start to sing. That reminds me the Pharisees had some type of scouting party to follow Jesus along and see what he was up to. Well, there's three things along this line that the enemy of Jesus said. The Bible says that his enemies said he saved others, himself he cannot save. Now that was the man on the cross who didn't believe in him. But he noticed he saved others, himself he cannot save, in Mark chapter 13, verse 51. They also said, after 3 days, I will rise again. His enemies said this about Christ. After 3 days, he will rise again. And then the scripture we're looking at in verse 2, this man receiveth sinners. That was his enemies that saw him receiving sinners. Now I want us to focus in this, in Luke chapter 15. It's an awesome chapter because it tells us so much about the love of God and so much how the Lord Jesus comes after us. And I tell people all the time, you know, Jesus, I don't know why in the world, folks, we run from God, but we do. Much of my life, I ran from Him. I tried to get away from Him. I would run out the back door. If a preacher came over to the house, I'd hit the back door. I was running from God. And I think about that and I think, well, why in the world do people run from God? They run from God because they're afraid of Him. They are scared of Him. They don't know Him. And in your humanity, you want to hide from God. You get that from Adam and Eve. They hid from God. You see, and you and I, we could try to hide from God. We can run from God. But I found out, folks, listen to me. God is not chasing us. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. But God is not chasing us to get something from us. He's chasing us to give us something so valuable, so wonderful, so glorious, something that we cannot afford. The only way we can get it, it's a gift, and that's salvation, and that's eternal life. Somebody here today, you've been running from God. You've got all kinds of excuses, you think. You think God is mad at you. God isn't mad at you. You know, I don't know why we do this as humans, but we all do it. You know, we blame God for our problems and our troubles, but all the times our problems in our life are because we disobey God. Many of us today, we have problems in our life because it's our fault. We disobey God, but then we won't turn around and blame God. Amen. For our problems. I assure you today, Jesus knows you. He knows all about you. But in this text, Jesus gives three parables. And they're in reaction to his criticism. Or to their criticism. They criticized him. And now he is reacting to their criticism. There's three parables. Now we're not going to look at those, but they're in this scripture. He talks about the lost sheep. He talks about the lost coin. And he talks about the lost son. Those three parables are in reaction to his critics. Those that would criticize him. Those that would belittle him. You see, these parables show us his compassion for the lost. There's three things I want to give to you this morning that will help you if you listen and believe what the Word of God says. It will help you tremendously in your walk with the Lord. The first thing is this. In verse 2, look at it. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I want to call your attention to the word man. This man. God became man. Now we're living in a society that people say that a woman can be God. A woman is not God. We've got even public political figures, leaders, that will get on national TV and said, you know, God can be a woman or God can be a man. Anything you want to choose. You see, the thing about it is, I do not preach politics. I will not tell you how to vote. But when somebody is so crazy to get on national TV and say that God can be a woman, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to address that. And I'm going to preach against that, because God is not a woman. God is a man. And I want to show you that today. You see, this man, you see, God truly became man to redeem mankind. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, God truly became man. You want to know God? Learn about Jesus. You learn about Jesus and you'll learn all about the Father. But listen, Jesus, God is a man. The Bible tells us that the promise of Jesus, the promise of a man, was even in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It talks about the seed of the woman, that she would bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Even in Genesis 3:15, the first book of the Bible, it talks about a man would come, a man who is Christ Jesus, a man that has become God, God in flesh. We see that in the virgin birth. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. Isaiah promised a man would come. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 32, the Bible says, a man shall be a place, a safe place from the wind. A man, Jesus, is a safe place from the storms of life. The Bible says a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. You see, Jesus was a man. God became flesh. But not only that, when Jesus came, a man entered into our pain. He knows all about your pain. He is a man. A man. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He entered into your pain. The Bible talks about his humiliation. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, even to die on the cross. He was a man. He entered our pain. He entered with humiliation. He entered also with temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, he was tempted just like you and I, but he was without sin. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible, you know it as well as I do. He was in the desert 40 days and nights, and he was hungry. Satan came to him, tempting him. And you can read that whole story, but listen to me. The Bible says when that took place, Jesus looked at Satan and said, man doth not live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But one of the interesting things in that text is that the wild beasts were there. All of a sudden you see Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit dictates to Matthew and says, and wild beasts were there. Even the wild beasts. knew that Jesus Christ was Lord. Even he was a man, but he was God in flesh. He entered into our humiliation, our temptation. He entered into our fatigue and thirst. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, he went to her and he said, "Give me something to drink. I don't have anything to draw the water with." The well of Sychar, where he met this woman, a very simple woman. Theologians say he walked 30 miles. Listen to me. He walked 30 miles to get to this woman. That ought to put us to shame. We can't even get up and make it to Sunday school. But you want the blessings of God. But you can't even put God first. You can't put him first because you don't have any real passion for him. You don't have any real love for him. Oh, I know you say you love God, but your life story tells something else. He said, "I thirst." He was thirsty. Why? Because he was a man who walked 30 miles to save this woman's soul. He said, "I thirst." He entered into our fatigue and our thirst. He entered into our sorrow. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 3, he was acquainted with grief and sorrow. He entered into your sorrow. He knows about your sorrow. He knows about your broken heart. He knows what you're going through today. He was a man, not a woman. And he entered in into this world as a man. That's very important for you to get that, for your children to get that, because I'm telling you, it's going to be blasted everywhere that God can be a woman or a man. You choose. And it's unscriptural. Teach your children who God is. Teach your children who Jesus is. He is God in flesh. Christ was truly a man. But not only that, Christ was different from sinful men. He ate with sinners. Isn't that what the Bible says? And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." A lot of people in our churches don't have any time for the lost. A lot of people in our Baptist churches have given up on people. A lot of people in our Baptist church has got the delusion that people can't change. I want to tell you something. Woo! People can change. They can change with the power of God. He's changed you. If you're not changed, you don't know him. Because I guarantee you, he will change you. He was different. He ate with sinners, but he didn't sin with them. Amen? Did you know you got to be around sinners to get them saved? Did you know every now and then you got to smell a little alcohol? Did you know every now and then you got to deal with somebody high? Did you know to get people, get the person the gospel, you got to be around sinners? Well, we don't want we don't want those sinners coming to our church. Brother Roger, we want those good sinners. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. A lot of churches, I'm telling you, that's the way they think. They're under a delusion that there's good sinners out there. We're all sinners. We're all under the curse of sin. Where, listen, there's none good, no, not one. You do not have a good heart. Quit saying that. Well, she went to heaven because she's had a good heart. No! You go to heaven because you are convicted of your sin. You are called by the Holy Ghost to come to Christ. You come to Christ and you ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Forgive me, Lord, of my sin. I'm a sinner. You know why in this building today some people aren't saved? It's because you've never really saw yourself as a sinner. The worst place to go to hell from is in a seat in the Baptist church. That's the worst place because that's where you hear the truth of the gospel. You see, he was different in many ways. In relation to his father, he was the only begotten Son of God. In overcoming all temptation, he was different than us. And always doing his father's will, he was different from us. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was holy and without sin. He's different from us. Oh, he came to us. He sat with us. He broke bread with us. He touched our heart. And many of us fell in love with Jesus. One of these days, Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, when he went down into the den of lions, he said, Daniel, Daniel, has the God that you continually serve delivered you from the mouth of the lions? You listen to me. Some of you have found a God that will not deliver you. It's called the God of self. The God of self-righteousness. And one of these days, you're going to need delivered from, you're going to need God to deliver you. And I'm telling you with the authority of heaven on my breath today, if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, you are in trouble. If I were you, I'd get my heart right with God today. The Bible says that he was holy. He was different in many ways. He was holy. The third thing is this. Jesus was always reaching out to sinners. Always. When's the last time you reached out to somebody lost? You know, Brother Bobby Reno preached that sermon about losing your passion. When you lose your passion, you'll fill it up with something else. I tell you today, listen to me. If I lost my passion for Jesus, I'd fill my passion up with fishing. Because I love to fish. But many people feel they lose their passion for Jesus, they fill it up with fishing, hunting, golf, sports, whatever. Some people that have lost their passion for Jesus worship their bed. I like fight. Brother Roger, Sunday is my only day off. I've got to sleep. You see, you worship your bed. That's your God. One of these days, you're going to be delivered. You're going to need to be delivered. And your God will not deliver you. Listen to me. Jesus was always reaching out to sinners. The Bible said he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He came to seek and save that which was lost. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In this text, in Luke chapter 15, in the chapter, we see the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And he's telling even his enemies. They noticed. Come down off of that cross. You saved others, save yourself. His enemies were so against him, but they saw what he was doing. You see, Jesus still seeks sinners today. The Bible says he still receives them. John chapter 6, verse 37. The Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He will no way, no how cast you out. I want to tell you something. He still seeks sinners, us, today. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 26, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. I like to put it this way. He's able to save the guttermost. Have you ever been in the gutter of your life? I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. No, you're not. You cannot do a good deed to erase a bad deed. And a lot of people believe today that they can do something good to erase the bad. And it doesn't work like that. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus is alive. He's making intercession for you and I. What does that mean, Brother Roger? That means that he's praying for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is praying for you. He's praying for you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now that's what Jesus said. What you need to understand about this door, you've got to open it. He's not going to force his way into your life. You've got to invite him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And I will sup with him, and he with me. I love that word sup, because it has everything to do with eating. I like that, don't you? I've done preached some of you asleep, ain't I? The word sup means fellowship. You see, I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. There's somebody here today, all you have is religion. You got connected to church, but you didn't get connected to God. And that's why you're mean as the devil at times. Amen. We've been talking about the tongue, controlling your tongue. You cannot control your tongue. You know why? Because you're just connected to the church. You got religion. And religion will take you to hell. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you just get connected, if I baptize you and you join the church and you don't get connected to God, you'll cause trouble in churches all your life. That's the problem. You know why people cause problems in churches? They just got connected to the church. And that's why it's easy for them to run off. That's why it's easy for them to stab you in the back. They just got connected to the church. You hear me and hear me well. You've got to get connected to God, or you'll be a church member that will go to hell. You know why you can't control your tongue? You're not connected to God. You get connected to Him, your life will change. Amen? Oh, I get amens. Brother Roger, preach against that drinking. Brother Roger, preach against those drugs. Brother Roger, preach against that illicit sex. There's a lot more to the Christian life than just quitting some things. There's a life, a Christian life to live. He was a man, came into this world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, said, Jesus Christ, my Lord, save my soul. And he said, I was the chief of sinners. You'll never be saved. Listen, brothers and sisters, listen to me. You'll never be saved until you see you're a sinner. You'll never get right with God until you have a passion for Him. And if you lose your passion, I guarantee you something else will fill it up. And you'll lose your joy. Can I get a witness? Won't you stand? Somebody needs to be saved today. Somebody needs to rededicate their life today. What do you need to do? How about your life? You say, Brother Roger, I got saved a long time ago, got baptized, but my life has never really changed. Not really. I want to tell you something. You missed something. You missed something. Your life will change. I don't care how good a person. I don't care how many morals you have. There's people that have great morality, but they're still lost without Jesus because they think that morality is going to take them to heaven. You see, there's the moral sinner that needs to be saved. There's an immoral sinner that needs to be saved. But they both need to be saved. You're here today. You said, Brother Roger, I need to be saved. I did. I got saved when I was young, but it really didn't change my life. You know, let me tell you how you know you're saved. And I can tell you the Bible, 1 John tells it. The Bible tells us we know we're saved because we love the brethren. Do you love me? I love you. You can know you're saved because of the way you feel about sin. What do you think about sin? Do you think it's something to pet? Like a little puppy? Or do you see it as a rattlesnake with venom? How do you feel about sin? You want to know you're saved? Those two things will tell you that you're a child of God. What are we singing, brother? You come. Don't let the devil talk you out of it now.
Peace.
This is Troy Leon Allen. I got it right.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you got saved a few weeks ago, the Lord wrote your name down in heaven. Amen. He got saved, but now he wants to get baptized. He wants to be baptized and become a member of South Carrollton Missionary Baptist Church, the best church in the county. Amen. What's your pleasure?
Ah! Hallelujah!
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. We got some folks we need to baptize before long. There's one lady, she wanted me to wait because there's a couple who want to get baptized together. So just give me a little. Amen. Well, God's good again. Amen. 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 I love you. And it's still early. Amen. Yeah, it's early. Yes. Yes. God bless you.